Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read together, to the book of Job, chapter 33, and let us consider verses 23 and 24. Job 33 and verses 23 and 24, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit, I have found a ransom. So we have Job in very great trouble, having lost his entire family, having lost his possessions, and Job couldn't understand what was happening to him. But the Lord understood. The Lord was testing how it would be a demonstration to all future ages who would have access to the Word of God, to show that there would be people who would follow God in spite of all the circumstances that they might be in, which in themselves would tend to sweep them away from God. And the natural reaction, no doubt, to the troubles that Job had to endure, it would be to say, God doesn't love me. God doesn't care for me. God has cast me off. But that was not according to truth. And whatever difficulties Job had in his thinking, and Elihu here points out some of them, whether he gets everything right himself is another matter. But what Elihu is doing in God's providence, it's to prepare the way for the Lord himself to speak to Job. There were the three friends of Job, and no doubt they meant well, but they were telling Job that he was obviously a very great sinner. Otherwise, they couldn't believe that Job would be left to the circumstances that he had to experience. But they were wrong. They were altogether wrong. And when the last comes to the last, Job must have offered up a sacrifice for them. Job must acknowledge that he was a sinner. And no doubt it was a confession, not the first confession he had ever made by any means, but it was a more explicit confession. He was going further at any rate than very likely he had ever done before when he was saying, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, and now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That's when the Lord speaks. It's the Lord himself that must speak to us. But here we have Elihu drawing attention to the possibility of salvation, the reality of salvation. And there are three particular points I wish to emphasize, though I will try to deal with all that is said in the verse, trying to explain it, trying to apply it, and that is something we very much need in connection with the Word of God and a reading of the Word of God, that we would apply it to ourselves. Now, there may be things that do not apply to ourselves. For instance, the unconverted person, he cannot in any full way apply to himself the promises that are in the Word of God. But he can still get profit from them, in this sense at least, that there is a promise being made to the people of God. And if I was among the people of God, then that promise would be true for me. You see, there is a particular application of the Word of God. The person can't as yet take it to himself as a promise to himself, but still, he can get some good of it if he thinks it through properly. Well, the three main points that we will take from this text today, from these two verses, is first of all the ransom. I have found a ransom. Then the second point is the messenger. If there be a messenger with him, I take it that is with God, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his, God's, uprightness. And then in the third place, the deliverance. He will be gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. So these three main points just now, the ransom, second, the messenger, third, the deliverance. So, first of all, the ransom, and we're perfectly familiar these days of hearing, perhaps not so much as in some times in the recent past, about a ransom and a demand for a ransom. In a very ungodly way, when someone is kidnapped and the kidnappers will say, he will be released if a ransom is paid for him, a ransom of £1 million, or whatever it might be, then he can go free. He can be bought back, we might say. He can be bought back. Well, why should there be a need for a ransom for people like us? Why should there be any call for a ransom? And the fact is that we are sinners. We are in debt to the justice of God. We are in debt to God as the judge. Our sins deserve eternal death. Or as Paul puts it to the Romans in chapter 3, at the end, the wages of sin is death. Now, let us just pause to reflect on how solemn a statement that is, the wages of sin, the results of sin, to put it loosely, the consequences of sin. They are eternal death. And that's a fearful thought. The thought of going down to a lost eternity, to suffer there forever. And why? Why? Well, the wages of sin, you see. That's it. It's because of sin. And because God is a just God, he must punish sin. So we need to be delivered. We need to have a ransom paid for us that we might be set free. Now, we're not very ready to think the worst about ourselves. We're not very ready to face up to reality. The reality of God's judgment. The reality, may we take it in. May we be asking the Lord to show us what is true about ourselves, so that we would be looking for this ransom. And looking for the messenger, the interpreter, one among a thousand, who can show to man the uprightness of God. But, you see, what we have is the terrible condition that human beings are in. We're all in that condition by nature. Some have found a ransom because God has found a ransom. And that's a great matter, God finding a ransom. Doesn't mean to say that there was a time or a stage in his existence when he had no ransom. So many things are said by way of coming down to our limited understanding. Putting it in human terms, how a human being would act and learn in various circumstances. But the point I've been making so far is our great need of a ransom. And God has made a provision. The Father sent the Son. God the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He came to provide a ransom. He came on behalf of sinners who were going to receive, who deserved to receive the wages of sin. The Son of God came into this world. The Son of God took our nature. What condescension. What wonderful condescension. The Son of God taking our nature with its limitations. He was one person, God and man, these two distinct natures, and he keeps them united in one person forever. There's the wonder of it. That he's still the mediator between God and man. But in coming into this world and describing his coming into this world, he speaks of himself as the Son of Man. He said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He came to die. Instead of sinners dying, he died himself. And what I mean is, instead of sinners receiving the wages of sin, which in particular is eternal death, Christ took their eternal death. Christ was the sinner's substitute. That's what gives us hope. That we may be focused here today in a particular aspect of the provision. But we must always keep in mind Christ dying, Christ suffering unto death, Christ bringing about the separation between its body and soul. That's what death is, when somebody is taken away from this world. Their body is left behind, and their soul is taken away into eternity. Yes, there'll be a reunion. Yes, there'll be a resurrection. But Will it be a resurrection to glory or a resurrection of damnation? And the truth is that we must find this ransom for ourselves. Christ came into this world so that he would be able to ransom sinners, so that he would have, will we say, the wherewithal to pay to the justice of God, or to pay to God as the just one in the place of sinners. You see, when there is the deliverance, if we can spell it out in that way, when there is the deliverance, the Lord Jesus is saying to his Father, as it were, I have found, I have earned a ransom. I have a right to redeem this sinner who is led captive by the devil at his will. This sinner that cannot get into heaven. This sinner that cannot be accepted by thee unless this ransom will be paid out for him in particular. Yes, there was that whole work at Calvary, that whole work when Christ was in the world, this continual, in one way or another, working out of redemption for sinners. But this, in relation to the punishment, the eternal punishment which the sinner deserves, there was this Christ taking that punishment of himself, that he might be able to go before the Father and say, here is the ransom payment for this sinner. Let this sinner be delivered. Let there be a messenger sent to this sinner, that there might be an interpretation of the way of salvation to that sinner. And the Father says, as it were, yes, I have found a ransom. And I am well pleased with that ransom. It fully satisfies the demands of my law, the demands for punishment. Let the sinner go free. Let there be a deliverance in connection or for that sinner. Let that sinner be delivered. Let the sentence be pronounced on behalf of that sinner, that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit be given to that sinner, that the word might be blessed to him or her. Yes, that's what we are to see here. There's not, to be sure, there's not the full New Testament light here, but we can read back the New Testament light, so to speak. We can read back what was more fully revealed in the New Testament and put them both together and see how wonderfully clear for all that what we have here is in showing us that there is a means of deliverance for sinners like ourselves. Christ came to give his life a ransom for many. Now, let me just for a moment stress that point. The idea is about that the elect are a small number, a tiny number. And that's no doubt, there's truth in that as far as particular generations are concerned. The Savior was saying in his own time, if you there be that find the kingdom of God, but when the last will come to the last, it's going to be a multitude that no one can number. It's going to be a great multitude that will be on the right-hand side of Christ. He came to give his life a ransom for many. And it suits the devil, no doubt, to be putting it about and to be encouraging people to think of the elect as a small number. We're not to think of the elect as a small number. That should be an encouragement to sinners to seek. And put against that, or put beside it, this, what perhaps I have mentioned, the effectiveness, and I mentioned it many times on other occasions, the effectiveness, the suitability. Take any number of words of that nature and apply them to the work of Christ, apply them to the ransom, apply them to what Christ did, that there might be a ransom, that this might be revealed, and that the actuality of Christ's redemption should be in perfect consistency with what Elihu said so long before Christ was in the world, that there was this to be said, I have found a ransom. That God would say, and God is saying now, as we are about his word here, that the Father is saying, I have found a ransom. Take that to yourself. If you're questioning the possibility of your salvation, if you're asking the question, how can I possibly be saved? There's no possibility for me being saved. Is the devil trying to ram that down your throat? Well, stop, stop. It's here in the Word of God. The Father is saying, Christ is saying, the Holy Spirit is applying it to souls, so that might be more relevant to our second point. I have found a ransom. And can we hear an echo of that in these terms? I am well pleased with that ransom. And we should be well pleased with it too. Think of it. Christ saying, when he was on the cross in particular, we're to think of Christ saying, I am well pleased with what I am doing. And that was just reality of the matter and his perfect sense of what he was doing. And the Father saying, I am well pleased with that ransom. This is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. And I am well pleased in particular when he is paying the ransom and when he is going down to the dust of death. I am well pleased with it all. And the Holy Spirit, can we think of him without picking out every possible occasion? But the eternal Holy Spirit unchangingly saying, in particular, when he goes to or comes to work in the heart of a sinner savingly, he is saying this, along with many another thing, of course. He is saying, I am well pleased with the ransom that Christ has found. I am well pleased. And should we not be saying this also? I am pleased with this ransom. Should we not be saying, I am well pleased with this answer, and I am closing in with this answer, now with this ransom. Now I know that we are not able to exercise faith of ourselves, but that doesn't take away from the fact of what we should be saying and what we should be doing. And it's by the gracious working of the Holy Spirit in the soul that the sinner is brought to say, actually, I am well pleased with his ransom. The Father found it. The Savior provided it. The Holy Spirit applies it. And I, poor sinner though I am well pleased with it. And it is my only hope of being brought to eternal glory. I, as one who has earned the wages of sin, and that is death. But there is this ransom set before me, and it is a wonderful ransom. it carries with it a promise of entire effectiveness, a promise of delivering the soul from going down to the pit of death, the pit of eternal death. But I am well pleased with this because it is so entirely effective, so that if I believe by God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, I will not perish, but I will have eternal life. Just let us notice this, what we read of in the Epistle to the Hebrews, that Christ once, by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. He entered into heaven, having obtained eternal redemption. There's a ransom price, and those for whom it is paid, it will be delivered from all the terrible consequences of sin. You might imagine someone who needs a ransom, and though there's sin bound up with that, and I could have used the Old Testament illustration of the redemption and the ransom being paid, but just let us stick to that illustration I used near the beginning, a group kidnapping someone and demanding £1 million, and 500,000 pounds are offered, and they might say, no, we stick to what we asked for, and they might demand every last penny off it. But that's sinful through and through. That's complete criminality or worse. But it's another matter when we think of what I'm attempting to illustrate. When God says, it must all be paid. Sin must be fully atoned for. And what does he do? He finds a ransom himself. It's in his only begotten Son that ransom is to be found. He comes into this world to pay that ransom, and he pays it to the very last penny. It's the entire justice of God, entirely just in all his doings, and entirely just in what he does in relation to himself, that if a ransom is provided for sinners who cannot pay the first penny of the ransom that has to be paid, then he provides a ransom that pays the complete wages, that is equivalent to the full wages of sin. He pays it all. There's nothing left. The sinner who has believed in Jesus, the sinner here who has believed in Jesus, that sinner has every right to say, there's nothing required of me. As far as forgiveness is concerned, as far as justification is concerned, there are many things required of the people of God to live a holy life, sums it up. But that's not our point just now. But you see, what they are to say is Christ paid it all. It was a full ransom. There's nothing that comes short of what the justice of God demands. Nothing. Take it all, sinner, and let me take it with you. When it is put in our hands, as it were, put in our hands that we might take it. When we read the word of God, and when we hear the word of God preached, It's been put in our hands. It's been set before us. But we must go on. The messenger, secondly. And the what is said is, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness. If, and I think he is just setting out the question, so to speak. He knows that there is a messenger. Whether he'll not have the same insight as we should have, who have the New Testament scriptures. But there's the essence of the gospel here, so wonderfully set out. If there be a messenger, and we answer, well, there is. If there be a messenger with him, with God, and yes, we say, there is, there very definitely is. There is a messenger. It's the one we've been speaking about, trying to anyway. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Son of God who took out nature. He's a mediator after all. It's an idea we should keep in our minds. Perhaps I didn't mention it in connection with the first head, but that's what's at the center of it. Christ coming as a mediator between God and man. He's able to use a phrase from the book of Job. He is able to lay his hand upon us both. He is able, so to speak, it's an illustration, able to lay his hand upon God, for he is God. Able to lay his hand upon man, for he is man. That's what we're being told. That's what we're to believe. That's how we're to receive the Savior. When he comes, that he might do all that was necessary so that he could pay the ransom through which sinners might be set free. And he's laying his hand upon us both, to quote that phrase again, when he comes as an interpreter, when he comes to teach, when he comes as a prophet, as we may be familiar with that idea, he comes in between God and sinners, with a view to teaching, with a view to showing what is necessary to be known. When he comes to teach sinners concerning the way of salvation and the provision of a ransom and how they can be set free from the wages of their sin, so that they might not have to receive these wages. Yes, he's the messenger of the covenant, as Malachi describes him. The messenger of the covenant that was to come in the fullness of time. As we find in the third chapter of Malachi's prophecy, the Lord speaking, "Behold, I will send my messenger that he shall prepare the way before me." And in the first place, that is John the Baptist. "And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant," the promised one, promised in the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of course, more specifically, more generally. Perhaps these are contradictions, but perhaps you can find your way through the contradictions to see what I meant. He was to come in connection with the covenant of grace, the messenger of that glorious covenant, the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come. He's the interpreter, interpreting the ways of God to us, interpreting the way of salvation. That's what we have. That's what we need. We need many things. We need the ransom, of course. That's absolutely central. But we need to have the ways of God interpreted to us. There was Christ by the well. There was the woman of Samaria in her ignorance. And he talks with it. He is the interpreter as far as she is concerned. She has her own religious ideas. She knows that there's to be a Messiah. She knows that at some time, the Christ is to come. And she is telling Jesus some of the things she knows, but he is interpreting things to her, and particularly when he comes to this, to say to her, "I that speak unto thee am he. I am the Messiah," he is saying in effect, and that's the way I'm perfectly sure she understands it. He's there as an interpreter, and she has these ideas. They need to be spelled out to her. They need to be explained to her. They need to be interpreted. He has come. He is going to do all that was necessary for the redemption of sinners, so that sinners could be ransomed. There has been a ransoming going on beforehand. And the woman of Samaria is one of the beneficiaries of that. It was her salvation. Her ransom was paid. Can we put it like this? On credit. It was, she was delivered. She was set free for the sake of what was yet to be done. The payment that was yet to be done. When it would come to this, that Christ, it would pour out his soul unto death. He was suffering already. Yes, suffering, will we save in particular, from the ignorance of that woman. It must have pained his heart in particular that she is so ignorant, but he is there with her. And he explains the truth to her, but it's not just an outward explaining. For his sake, the Holy Spirit is coming to work in the heart of that woman. He is working by the Word and Spirit. Yes, he is present with her. That is so. He is not present with any of us when he, in that way, in a physical way. He is not present with any of us. If he comes as an interpreter to her, as a messenger. But he comes to sinners in our generation, without a doubt. He sits, so to speak, beside them. He comes beside them at any rate. He comes, and the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit applies the truth. You see, just as the Holy Spirit applied that wonderful statement of Christ, "I that speak unto thee am he." Whatever particular form of words, whatever particular truth from the Word of God that Christ might use as an interpreter today, it's the Holy Spirit who actually applies it to the soul of the sinner. And we might just repeat that when he does so, is he saying this, "I am well pleased with the ransom, and by this act of this my act in your soul, I am making you well pleased with that ransom also." The Holy Spirit was so working in the soul, putting life into the soul, that the sinner is made pleased with this provision, this whole provision, and in particular this aspect of it. "I have found a ransom." That's it. And you see, we were trying to consider two Sabbaths ago these words of Paul to the Corinthians. We might say these words of the Holy Spirit to the Corinthians. It pleased the Lord by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There's the human element, sometimes more prominent, sometimes less so. The preacher and the words spoken, the words spoken in the providence of God. That's what we have. The words spoken in the providence of God. And what is said is part of the providence of God. What we cannot fathom, how someone can be speaking, saying various scriptural things, but they're being said according to the will of God, in particular, so that a particular sinner on a particular occasion might be brought into the kingdom of God, might be enabled to believe. When the truth is proclaimed, for instance, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, or whatever portion of truth it might be, or whatever scriptural fact it might be, that the Holy Spirit applies to that sinner, making them to realize the one, the great truths about the one who gave himself as a ransom. Yes, he gave himself as a ransom. And then the sinner is able to look to that one, to trust in that one who gave himself a ransom for many. What was to be testified in due time, and it is being testified. Yes, but here is the interpreter, the messenger. We might take as an illustration of what I've just been saying, Philip being sent to meet the Ethiopian eunuch. He's going back to Ethiopia now, and he's still in darkness, in spiritual darkness. What hope is there for him going back to Ethiopia that he will ever be brought to believe in the Messiah? But he is there, and he's reading the Word of God. But he needs an interpreter. And when Philip begins the conversation with him and asks him, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And the man makes the confession, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Well, there is Philip. We might call him an under-interpreter or an under-messenger. He is a servant of Christ. He has been sent out to preach the gospel, and he is sent to this man in particular. And he begins at the verse where the eunuch was reading in Isaiah 53. He begins at the verse, and he preaches to him, "Jesus, the one who rules on the throne of glory, he has sent out one of his messengers to interpret to him the prophecy of Isaiah, or a section of it anyway." And the Holy Spirit is there also. What a meeting. The meeting of the sinner and the Holy Spirit. And will we put it like this? The under-messenger, the under-interpreter in attendance, to be a human instrument in conveying the truth of Scripture to this man, who needs to have it opened up to him, the ideas in connection with the one in whom God has found a ransom. The ideas about the ransom, the ideas about salvation. Yes. Well, thirdly, there's the deliverance. It's the one gives out heads. It's impossible to compartmentalize everything altogether. So as I was speaking, I've been mentioning some things about the deliverance. Yes. And the deliverance comes when the truth of God's word about salvation and about the Savior especially, when they are applied to the soul by the Holy Spirit, as we were considering some time ago the fact of the Holy Spirit coming for the sake of Christ. And then the Savior adds, when he has come, he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will convince them of sin. He will convince them of the way of salvation. He will convince them that Christ is King and not the evil one, not ourselves. And through that conviction, sinners are delivered from the wrath to come. They no longer have in God's accounts anything of this nature. Here are the wages of sin accumulating, and they must be paid to this sinner in due course. And that person's account is wiped out completely when that sinner believes in Jesus. When the sinner looks to Christ as one who paid the ransom, and that ransom is available for sinners, so that whosoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have everlasting life. Not death, not eternal death, but eternal life. That's what we have. That's what we're to believe. That's what we're to receive. We're to look away from ourselves. We're to look to Christ as one who has provided a perfect salvation. Yes, perfect. That's the glory of it. Yes. And you see, Elihu, going on, in the light of this, what the Lord can say, when the messenger comes, when grace is put into the soul of the sinner, then he is gracious unto him and saith, then the Lord is gracious to this sinner, now a believing sinner, or on the verge of being brought into the kingdom. And what is said in heaven is this, deliver him from going down to the pit. The Holy Spirit to put life into his soul, the Holy Spirit to work faith in the soul of that sinner. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Oh, let that be broadcast through this world. These great words expressing a tremendous truth. Oh, sinner, listen. Listen to what the Lord is saying to you today, that you might be delivered from the wrath to come. Listen, here is good news from a far country, which you should receive, that the God is saying to you from heaven, I have found a ransom. Why then should you go on in your sins? Why then should you go on in carelessness? Listen, take it in, ask the Holy Spirit to apply it to your soul, that the Lord has said, the Lord is saying, that he has found a ransom, and that ransom is suitable for you, as it is suitable for every sinner that there is in this world. And whatever difficulties your own unbelieving heart may be putting in the way, and whatever difficulties the evil one may be putting in your way also, here is what the Lord is saying. This is the truth that you are to receive. I have found a ransom. Why should you go on? It's still under the power of sin. Why should you go on under condemnation. Why should you go rushing down the broad way that leads to eternal destruction? I have found a ransom, he is saying, and saying to you, will you not stop? Will you not receive these truths for yourself, that the Lord is pressing upon you? Yes, ask him to apply them to you. Ask him to be with you. Ask him to follow you home from this building. Ask him to follow you where you can go aside yourself and pray over these things and seek for grace to look to him. Yes, he shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. God will render unto man his own righteousness. That's what we have. What a deliverance when the sinner under condemnation with so much against him and adding sin to sin and treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath in terms of the wages of sin. And the Lord says, I have found a ransom, enabled to pray to God, and the Lord shows favor to him. And he sees his face, even in a very little degree, with a very little portion of joy in his soul. And the Lord putting to that person's account the righteousness of Christ. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which is right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. There it is, deliverance. Deliverance from the wrath to come. It being brought to confess is sincerely. When Job was brought to make the confession, I mentioned at the beginning, it's not that he was making that confession of sin for the first time. It's that he was given a deeper sense of his sin. And he makes a confession accordingly, a further confession. And he is heard. The Father, will we say, has another look at the runs. And he gives him a further degree of his salvation. Yes, but let us notice what is said in chapter 36 and at verse 16. No, it's verse 18. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. It's not that the ransom with which God is well pleased, the ransom that God has found, it's not that that is inadequate, it's that it is too late. If the Lord takes the sinner away from this world with his stroke, then there's no ransom, not even an infinite ransom, that can deliver that sinner. He's left it too late. Oh, sinner, do not leave the salvation of your soul too late. But remember the words, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, that he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Yes, remember that the Lord is saying, that the Lord is saying to you, I have found a ransom. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. Lord, may we be thankful to thee that we have the gospel message, and may thy people be thankful to thee that thou hast found that ransom and that thou hast applied it to them. May others be brought to feel the wonderful grace that there is in setting that ransom before us. Lord, take each of us into thine own loving care. Make us thankful for all thy goodness to us. May we seek to make good use of the gospel. May we not be careless about it. Oh, come, may we beware of being careless about our souls. Do not leave us to ourselves, but grant thy blessing. Pardon us our sin. Make us thankful for thy goodness always. Be with us now. Bless what we have been considering. And may we be brought to worship thee in relation to all that. Grant thy blessing with us this evening. May we be able to gather together. May we be thankful that we are able to gather and to hear thy word. Pardon our sin, keep us from evil. Draw us by thy grace. For Jesus' sake, amen.